Welcome in. It's good to have you here. There is no name, sorry, Vinny, for the podcast. It's just easier to say, go search my name when you get your podcast episodes, Eric Chase, and subscribe, and then you don't have to worry about titles or anything like that, or tracking it down, you'll get the notifications. Vinny, is that good enough for you?
I still say you gotta change the name, man. We gotta find you something Toledo-spirited, man. Come on. Do it.
I mean, we're doing pretty good as we are. Vin the Hater is a familiar voice on this podcast, especially when we get nerdy, when there's Marvel movies, big releases. I think the last time we got together was for Infinity War, right? No. We did summer movie stuff.
Yeah, it was a summer movie podcast where you had some technical difficulties. We got cut off.
So. Yeah, I really, really botched that. And making his nameless podcast debut with the best cubicle. The most flamboyant things at his cubicle.
It's true.
From the promotions department, on the air, Peapod.
Hello.
It's good to have you here.
It's good to see you again.
Is it really?
Yeah. I enjoy your presence.
I'm sorry it took so long to get you in here, but you have a wild schedule.
Yes, between home life and work life and my podcast, Cheap Plug, the On the Radar podcast, that features music and artists coming to, through, and from the greater Midwestern areas, I'm a busy man.
Cheap plug.
Also, Kaipod Show, which we talk about comics with myself and Kyle Northrop of Sean's Anime and Comics.
Cheap plug, eh? Wait till you get the bill. Not going to be so cheap.
Usually I say cheap plugs at the end, but this is not my show, so I'm going to do it whenever.
It's good to have you guys here, and this is a warning. This is going to be the nerdiest podcast that we've ever gathered here for, but there's good reason, and we're going to try and make it a little broader than that so you can get through the nitty-gritty and some of the background and the granular stuff. We appreciate it. If not, there'll be another podcast on Saturday morning. The crew will be in. But we got here together. I wanted to get Peapod and Vinny because nobody reads current comics and has a temperature on the current comics culture as it relates to the larger world of pop culture than you two. Last week, and by the way, it's still a fucking shit show. I have no idea if Henry Cavill is or is not Superman.
They said his people was going to confirm it, but I never heard anything yet.
It's as fucked up as these DC movies are.
They're kind of bad. Wonder Woman is probably the best one, but even that was subpar.
So last week, there were rumors, there were stories saying he was hanging up the cape. I think his agent or someone came out and said, hold on. There's been no confirmation. But rumors started to spout off about who could be Superman. And to jump to the point of this that wound up being a very enlightening discussion and the impetus for me wanting to get you guys together, are you going to the bathroom, Vinny?
No.
Okay.
Is it that feedback again? See, that's what I was worried about. Like,
No.
It just sounded like you were grunting.
Yes, I heard like bodily noises. So one of the flashier names to potentially be Superman, if they needed one, was the extremely gifted Michael B. Jordan, about to hit Apollo 2 sometime in November.
Electric Boogaloo.
What's that one?
No, it was a joke.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Sorry, no.
Way over his head.
Yeah,
that's all right. Sorry. Did you get it, Vinny?
I got it, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. Super nerdy. That's one.
But more off his thrust into megastardom from playing Killmonger, which is going to get its own short series now, I think, in the Marvel world.
Does it really need it? But that's just me.
In the Black Panther movie, which is arguably the biggest movie of the year and is now on Netflix. And before I came off on Twitter sounding like a raving racist, I threw the discussion.
Giant racist.
I didn't want to be like, Superman is a white guy. We can't have a black guy. But you guys fleshed this out much more with a lot more decorum than I did.
And yes.
My simple point was, hold on a second. Can we leave Clark Kent alone and maybe have a Miles Morales type situation with this character? And Peapod, you guys took over the Twitter thread, and I'll let you guys, Peapod, you could start and go, hold on, that actually happens.
It is, and it's started by one wonderful writer, one of my favorite writers of all time, Grant Morrison, with his multiverse and everything that he has built around, actually starting with Batman and the multiple Earths and everything, and then it's just kind of grown. Now, the multiverse in the DC Comics has started way around the Crisis of Infinite Earths storyline back in the, I want to say, and Vinny, you might need to help me here on here, like the late 70s, early 80s?
Late 70s. I can look it up really quick.
So it's one of those, while you're doing that, it's one of those like very first big big events for DC Comics. Back in the silver, the golden and the silver ages of comics from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, there wasn't big event books. Like, Marvel has one every 3 months. DC kind of goes a little events due to their stories. But then it has sometimes maybe one giant one once every other year. It's a frequent thing in comic books where just a big thing is gonna happen, big enemy, big entity, something is gonna go down and rock shit around. Can I curse? I wasn't
Absolutely.
Sure. Cool. I try not to anyway. So Grant Morrison, he got his start on books like Doom Patrol. Which is probably my second favorite series of all time that he's ever written, next to Alan Moore's Swamp Thing. It's so well that I have tattoos from Doom Patrol, but that's another story. He later moved on to Animal Man, who later on then moved on to a lot of his own books. And then when it came to like the main DC characters, he wrote Batman, did a huge line of Batman books for a few years, killed off Batman, technically, brought him back, because nobody stays dead in comics outside of Uncle Ben, and it moved on, and he touched around the theme of Superman as well. And since he kind of, Grant Morrison, made the map of the multiverse in the current books now, with his series Multiversity, which jumped each issue, was like I think it was like an 8-issue miniseries, that each book, outside of the first and the end issue, each book took place at a different Earth. And he decided there are 52 Earths, plus the House of Heroes, which is in the center of the multiverse. There are, you know, New Gods, Apocalypse, Heaven, Hell, the Source Wall, all that stuff. He mapped it all out. There's actual physical map of the DC multiverse. And basically, the multiverse is different Earths vibrate at a different level from other Earths. So if you reach a different vibration, you can technically be on another Earth.
Jump me to Black Superman.
Black Superman is from Earth 23.
Got it.
Earth 23, a lot of the heroes are African American. Don't know why, but they just ended up being that.
It's like the Detroit or the Harlem of Earths.
Sure. it just ended up that way. Kal-El came, you know the story of Superman, Kal-El, Krypton, came to Earth. Well, this Kal-El was raised to become Calvin Ellis, who actually then later on became the president of the United States. His looks and everything looks very much like Barack Obama. There was a couple of times that he was first introduced. He was first introduced during Final Crisis, which was a mini story event written by Grant Morrison. Basically, the Emperor of Apocalypse, Darkseid, has figured out the anti-life equation, which is the equation to eliminate all life on Earth. They figured out the anti-life equation, the people of Apocalypse, and they found a human to turn into the next Darkseid. That Darkseid ends up actually killing Batman at the end of the series.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
All right, hold on a second.
Yes.
Because we're getting even deeper than I expected.
Yes.
So there is a Black Superman, so there's a little bit of precedence.
There are 52 Earths in the DC multiverse, and there's also different multiverses in the multiverse, but the main multiverse has 52 Earths, each Earth doing something different. There's an Earth that it's all cartoons. There's an Earth that actually mimics Marvel. There's an Earth that the Nazis won World War II and took over the world.
But on Earth 23,
yes,
we've got some precedents for Michael B. Jordan to be a Superman.
Correct.
Vinny, I had mentioned that, you know, this would, to introduce that character, there'd be a Miles Morales type of thing. Can you explain that, please?
Before I get into that, Peapod, thank you. Grant Morrison's one of my favorite writers, too, but I'm going to knock you some points on your spiel there. You failed to mention during his legendary run, his JLA run, which got him into the mainstream superheroes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he wrote JLA.
And arguably the best modern Superman story, All-Star Superman.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, can't forget. My favorite Superman story, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, to touch upon what he was doing, Earth 23, everyone there is actually African-American. So there is a African-American Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern again, but that's what that touches on. So do you want me to get into Miles Morales?
Well, yeah. Explain why, because he's probably the closest minority to pop relevance, and so much so that there is a movie coming out about this character. So if you could give some background on him and how someone like Michael B. Jordan could potentially be a Superman. Tie this all together neatly for us, and then we'll spread out beyond that.
All right. So Marvel has their own, I guess you can call it, multiverse, too. So they have this alternate universe called the Ultimate Universe, where there was an Ultimate Spider-Man, where in this universe, Peter Parker actually dies a few years into his career. And so this young teenager in that universe, Miles Morales, a half-black, half-Latino teenager, decides to take up the mantle of Spider-Man. And this was probably about 8 years ago when Brian Michael Bendis wrote this storyline and launched Miles Morales. And just like that, it actually took off. Miles Morales was still considered separate from the real Marvel Universe up until recently, but the popularity of the character forced them to integrate him into the main universe, Marvel.
To make this comparison, this was like a palpable interest in him, similar to where many people of many different backgrounds were excited to have Black Panther and what thrusted that to such cinematic numbers back in February. This was happening with Miles Morales, would you say 8 years ago, like 2010, 2009?
No, I think so, yeah.
Sounds about right.
How did he get his powers?
Oh, I read this so long ago. I
can tell
remember.
You. I can tell you.
Yeah.
A genetic spider from the Ultimate Universe, Norman Osborn, didn't fully become Green Goblin. A genetic spider from Oscorp escaped, and Miles Morales was bitten by it.
So similar to the Peter Parker story?
A little bit. Peter Parker was visiting a scientific place and got bit by a spider. This, however, on a high school field trip, this, however, it just was a random happenstance that Miles Morales got bitten by this escaped spider.
Can you guys think of another character, or is Miles Morales and his writer, Brian, his creator, Brian Michael Bendis, who I know is now writing Superman, correct, guys?
Correct.
Is he the pioneer of broader diversity in comics?
Nah, I wouldn't think so.
No,
yeah.
There's been
it's been going on for years.
Yeah, they've been doing this for years. It's just, this was a big deal for taking a character with the same mantle as something that was taken before.
Okay.
They've done it before in books. You know, Nightwing became Batman for a hot minute. You know, the mantle would always be onto somebody that made kind of, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, make sense. Like, you know, Dick Grayson became Batman for a hot minute because of shenanigans going on. Somebody in that same universe became and took over the mantle. Back in the...
Not a white guy.
Right, you know, back in the golden ages, I think, back in the old 80s or 70s and 80s, I believe Iron Man was black for a hot minute. Tony Stark wasn't Iron Man for some reason. Some guy was Iron Man. It wasn't Rhodey. It was somebody completely different.
Vinny?
I don't recall that Iron Man run, but I was going to say my earliest memory, well, not my memory, but earliest instance I can think of would be John Stewart, Green Lantern.
Right, yeah.
He came in about early 70s and then regained prominence actually in about 2002, 2003 with the Justice League cartoon, where they opted for the John Stewart Green Lantern to be on that roster instead of Hal Jordan or even Kyle Rayner, who was the Green Lantern at the time in the comics.
Good contribution to the discussion. I would probably go with that one. Let me ask you guys this. Was John Stewart, who is like a big badass black dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
He, as DC and Marvel go back and forth and battle one another and steal each other and copy things, was John Stewart a response to Luke Cage?
No. John Stewart was introduced way before, okay. I think, Luke Cage.
Okay. So we go back to them, but then it seems like, at least from my observations, Miles Morales, who is, again, very close to pop culture now, where mm-hmm. I know he's in the new Spider-Man show. Mm-hmm. There is a Miles Morales Spider-Man animated movie that's very hyped up, coming out, I think, in December.
I'm excited for that, to be honest.
And so he is, like, front and center more than some of these other characters that Marvel has tried to create, which we can now discuss. How do you guys feel about some of these other characters when we've got a female Thor, we've got Vinny and an Asian Incredible Hulk? Let's widen the discussion a little bit as these comic book companies have tried to develop or maybe force more diversity in there. Peapod?
It's always interesting, for lack of a better term, for a person of color or a minority character taking up the mantle of a mainstream character. Sometimes some companies do it out of the blue. They recently a character named Riri Williams took over the mantle of Iron Man for a hot minute, and the backlash of it was really bad because you introduce a character with next to no history and they take over a mainstay hero. And the comic book, there's two sets of comic book nerds. The one set of comic book nerds, you're changing the history of a character. You know, these characters are, you know, mostly when they were created, mostly white people. It ends up being a huge backlash amongst those people. Then people who want more diversity and more representation and better representation in modern comics is also all for it. But it leaves kind of a bad taste sometimes in people's mouths because how they do it and how they write it, they force feed you. It's not a natural progression like a Miles Morales per se. Amadeus Cho, who is the Asian Hulk. There's currently now two Hulks, whatever.
Let Vinny.
Yes.
Who is Asian?
Yes.
Because Vinny explained this to me. Vinny, your thoughts on how this toe in the water, or maybe even an entire foot now, of diversity in comics with some of these characters. Your thoughts and how they've handled this.
It's a very delicate way to go about doing it. You know, yes, and as an Asian man myself, you know, I want to see more diversity in comics. But at the same time, I don't want it force-fed that it's not natural, you know? Some of these examples I brought up, John Stewart worked because Green Lantern is a core. So there's no singular Green Lantern person. You know, it's not tied to one origin. You know, it is a bunch of different people.
Like it and the Miles Morales, they grew organically out of what was already there.
Right, yes.
As opposed to what Peapod discussed. And maybe you could talk about the Hulk and then we can rope the Thor situation into this as well.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I didn't read that Hulk run.
I didn't either.
So you as an Asian person weren't like, hey, it's an Asian Hulk. I got to get into this.
No, I had no interest in it whatsoever.
Because I gotta be honest. You guys know, like, I'm a fan of Moon Knight, mm-hmm. probably my third favorite character. He has DID, multiple personalities. But the other thing that kind of draw, I mean, I've always liked him because he's Marvel's Batman, but
yeah,
crazier. Like Bruce Wayne has addressed some of these demons, not all of them. Moon Knight, Mark Spector has not, and it's gotten worse and worse as mm-hmm. far as his mental illness. But he's also Jewish. So that appeals to me a little bit. But Vinny, it's interesting that you weren't drawn to that because that was representative of you. Like, I agree with you guys, and I've always thought this, and I'm careful about how I say it. I think, like, art and life should imitate and represent one another accurately. And, like, this isn't, we're not a world of just white men anymore. There are other people out there.
No.
And our population, like, what does an American look like? I know this. It's no longer a 30-something white guy. It's maybe a little darker complexion now, and I have no problem with that. And I think that should be represented in all of our media.
It should, but in the comics industry, especially what's going on right now, it's very toxic. It's a lot of these people, and maybe it's a talk about what's going on social and political wise right now in our world, but there are heaps and bounds of people saying that they want the comics and their characters to stay the same always. They don't want change. They don't want representation. They get offended when a woman writer or an Indian writer or a black writer is taking one of these mainstream white dudes and they're changing them up. Currently, Captain America is being written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, who did a wonderful job in the run of Black Panther in the comics.
Vinny, so you didn't go after the Amadeus Cho. I've mentioned it a couple of times. The female Thor, from what I recall, this seemed less vile for critics than some of these other ones.
Yeah, it did. I believe that was Jason Aaron's most recent run.
Yep.
Because it was just good storytelling. It really resonated well with fans. In terms of the organic storytelling, they didn't just all of a sudden decide, hey, Jane, you're a Thor now. They wrote it in that she was the worthy successor to Mjolnir and Thor's powers.
She was worthy. The person who is worthy will get the mantle of Thor. It's right on the hammer.
Right. So it just seemed more natural in the way it was written. And I guess it resonated well with fans. So
I'm interested to see how things, long before we're dead, change when all this stuff gets rebooted and there's a new Tony Stark, because Robert Downey Jr. will be retired or dead. We've always kind of accepted different James Bond characters, like actors. It's been cycling through, and we've always known that was kind of like a rotating role, but not so much for these Marvel roles that are established. Vinny, you put quite eloquently, I believe, when it came to changing the race in cinema of Superman.
I'm going to start off by saying, I love Michael B. Jordan. I've always been a fan of his work. Rest in peace, Wallace from The Wire. Anyone else? No?
Yeah, I
never, I never watched The Wire.
Oh, God, you guys are losing a point there. But anyway, what I had said on Twitter was that, I'm great. I'm all for more diversity, more minority, anyone but white guys. representation, period. Didn't like the idea. Sorry, guys.
It's fine.
But I didn't like the idea of Superman being cast by Michael B. Jordan. For one, if you're going to go with the Earth 23 storyline, where he's the president of the United States, he's way too young for that. You're going to go for that route. If we're going to do that route, you're going to need Will Smith or even Idris Elba. Someone of that age.
I don't want Will Smith. Will Smith just plays Will Smith in movies now.
Yeah, that's right. He can't do it anyway. He's Deadshot. Will Smith as Deadshot.
I mean,
I have a bigger gripe with Josh Brolin playing two essential MCU characters than I do with some of the like the Human
Torch. Chris Evans played Human Torch and Captain America.
But that was a big bomb, and I think we can all forget about that one. Yeah. Vinny,
but Michael B. Jordan.
You said
did Michael B. Jordan. He played Human Torch and Killmonger.
People hated that. Like, that movie was awful. And
I never watched it. I refused to watch it.
And people went after him like aggressively and angrily on Twitter because he won the role to play Human Torch, a white guy. Like, I know that it got bad, and that didn't really affect the quality of the movie, which I didn't see, but I know that it was terrible. The Josh Brolin thing was just, something I can move on from. But I don't know if I could swallow a black Clark Kent. And it's not because any kind of racism, and I'm all for change. Nobody likes change, but I think I adapt pretty quickly. But, Vinny, you said it quite eloquently, because you agree with that sentiment, and that's where I want to tie all this together. Do you remember what you said on Twitter?
Yeah, to kind of summarize what I said on Twitter, like I said, more diversity. However, I think Superman, to me, is supposed to be that white boy from a Kansas farm, the ideal male white guy.
The ultimate Boy Scout.
Right. Sorry to get political, the Make America Great Again poster child. He's supposed to look like that. Because, the fact that he is an alien to this planet and he's adopted Earth as his home and is the champion for everyone. I think he's supposed to look like that. And that's just how I felt about it.
And there's also a longer history with he and Batman than any other character. I think it's only about, it might be 20 or 30 years. I think Spider-Man was introduced in the late 50s or early 60s. But Superman and Batman are way older than Marvel's most popular character, Spider-Man. So I feel like it takes a lot. It's got to be the right story. It's got to be almost organic to change the ethnicity of such a figment of like you pointed out, Vinny, in a way, like our history. I mean, I don't want to call these guys George Washington or Albert Einstein, but they are part of, they are our Greek myths here, and I think it's hard to change that unless you did it in this Earth 23 way, which is pretty easy to do.
I think it's easy to do if you make it like a animated film, as you start with the main Earth, and there's a situation going on that raises above our Earth. Then you can introduce Superman into, and kind of like what happened in the comic books, you can introduce Superman. During Final Crisis, there was a side story that Superman had to take on with the rest of other supermen from different Earths, a multi-Earth being that could destroy parts of the multiverse.
Hollywood can't afford all those Supermans.
No, but you can, not live action, but in a cartoon, you can introduce these characters, and you can do quick bios of, like, this Earth, this Superman came from this Earth, from this world. You can do a quick, like, side story of, like, I'm this Superman, I'm blah, 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 and do, like, maybe a three-minute montage of stuff. And you can introduce these all alternate and multiple Earths if you make the story big enough, kind of like an Infinity War. All these heroes came together to fight one major bad guy. Get these different Earths and the idea of different Earths together to face one giant bad dude.
Vinny, what was your initial thought when you heard about the Michael B. Jordan thing? I maybe you've given us the long version already, but what was your thought immediately? Like, no, that's not going to work, or yes, that should work?
My thought was, is it really necessary? And if it does happen, yeah, I'm going to be there opening day.
That's how I feel. I just like, it's just necessary, but whatever, as long as it's good.
Right.
Yeah, I felt that's exactly what I felt, so, too. Just not necessary thing to do. So
much of it comes to the story and how it's constructed. And I could see why Hollywood would want to make the money grab, because he's a megastar right now. I'm sure Apollo Creed 2, I'm thinking of his dad. I'm sure it's going to dominate the box office through the holidays, and he's on top of the world right now. Everybody wants him, and I guess it is a little difficult for too many people to digest at all. Like, this is why I wanted to have this discussion. But I know some people, immediately when they thought about this, started up their burner Twitter accounts and started saying hateful, racist things. Like, that's not me. Like, I would adjust. I would. And if the story was written with the other route, even better. But I'm not that person that gets so hateful about it.
It's that initial, like, knee-jerk reaction. And I'm at fault for doing that when they introduce new stories or new characters or people that are taking these guys. And then you take a moment to digest it, maybe read them, and then understand where they're coming from or how they're introduced or how they're going to swing it. And then if it makes sense, cool. A lot of people think that complaining on Twitter or social media is going to do anything. At the end of the day, especially when the world of media or comic books or anything, you vote with your wallet. You don't like it, don't get it.
And a lot of this stuff, this criticism that we're talking about is just noise.
It is.
I forget the name of the actress, and I adore her. She's brilliant and wonderful and eccentric. In Doctor Strange, who played the Ancient One? What's her name?
Tilda Swinton.
That's right.
Yeah, she's great.
Great actress. Yeah. People were upset that it wasn't given to an Asian actor. Vinny?
I didn't care, because you know what? When I want more diversity in comics and media too, I don't care about the sidekick role. You know, she's just a secondary character. Okay. Trust me, me and my cousins were not up in arms about that.
I found it funny that people were pissed when Iron Fist was announced that Danny Rand wasn't represented by an Asian guy. And everybody who's read a comic book go, Iron Fist is a white dude.
Right.
Always been a white dude. Just, this is how it was written.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, I just like, really? Pick up, this is why I'm kind of, and I studied this on my Twitter account. I'm burnt out on superhero films. I'm burnt out. Not because I don't enjoy them. It's because I rather read the source material. I rather go and read a well-written out, well-thought-out story in comics than see an amalgam, watered-down version of these characters.
I think there's going to be a breaking point at some point. We haven't crossed it yet because people still consume it. They do a good job of storytelling and tying this all together. You guys heard about the Marvel shorts that they're going to make for some of these characters that'll be on Disney streaming service?
I think so. What was the first one they announced?
Scarlet Witch and Loki. They'll be on Disney Marvel streaming service. That comes
I feel
out
like
a couple
Scarlet
years.
Witch should deserve her own film. There's a lot in the Scarlet Witch universe that they could do
for you.
I mean, for me, yeah.
For you, yeah. But for like the average
for the average Joe, yes,
That's why I've always kind of contested, and we can move into this part of the discussion when people have clamored for female superhero films. And I'm like, well, wait a second. These aren't good bets for Hollywood. Like, there's Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And over the course of, 8 to 10 movies now, people have gotten to know Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's and I guess that movie will be in the next phase of Marvel movies.
I'm sure.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't do very well. That's why, Vinny, when you have heard people wanting more female superhero movies, what have you thought?
Great, but sad thing to say is, you know, female-led action movies just don't do that well.
Well, and what's
Wonder Woman being the outlier in this, but, you know, look in the last couple years of some of these female-driven action movies, and Atomic Blonde starring Charlize freaking Theron. How awesome was that movie? Bombed at the box office.
What was the one with Jennifer Lawrence that people said, oh, this is like the Black Widow movie that could get made?
Oh, Red Sparrow? I didn't see that one because it just sounded like Black Widow movie.
Did you guys know that 2 weeks ago there was a Jennifer Garner action movie that came out?
Yeah, I saw ads on YouTube.
Thanks.
And I look at it this way. You could say that people aren't going to see them. I could say, just as devil's advocate, there are rich white movie executives who choose not to promote them heavily. Maybe they're okay movies, but to take it to the larger point, what other female superheroes could have such an audience? And I think Marvel has done a wonderful job in building up and building the suspense and getting Brie Larson for Captain Marvel. Like, this thing has been building for quite some time. With the way in Infinity War ended, maybe some people did their homework and like, oh, Captain Marvel's a woman. Now I'm really looking forward to this movie. Oh, it's Brie Larson? I loved her in some movies. I'm interested now. I'll give this a shot because Wonder Woman was really good. I just don't know of any other female superheroes that would make a big dent in anybody's wallet.
Really, when it comes to, and we're diving into worlds that we may or may not have the right to speak about, but we can talk about it anyway. In my mind, I feel like Wonder Woman is the quintessential like female superhero, and just I don't even want to like label it as a female superhero. It's just a superhero that happens to be female.
Who stands eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder with Batman and Superman?
Wonder Woman.
She belongs there.
She's part of the Trinity.
There's no other female superhero.
I can't
that stands
honestly
like
think of anybody on Marvel's end that is part of the Trinity. Really, the Trinity is, if you want to say, the main stay in Marvel, even though they can't get their footing on a film. In the comics, it's the first family. It's the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Vinny?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that one, you know. But I want to say that I think Marvel themselves, not just Marvel Studios, they've been doing a great job of pushing Carol Danvers as Captain Marvel since 2011, 2012, when they launched her into the Captain Marvel role with key partner, a female writer,
mm-hmm.
Running the series, Kelly McConnick?
McCormick?
Kelly McConnick.
Oh, McCormick, yeah.
They have done an incredible job of constructing this character and slowly moving it into the mainstream, giving her far more importance in the boys' world to the point where, you know, people are going to be excited to see this movie. And I don't care if she's a woman or not. I don't care if Captain Marvel was a fucking guinea pig. With the way that everything's been set up, I'm more excited for that movie than I am for Avengers 4. Because that is the fulcrum that ties everything together. So I don't care what her sex is, what her gender is.
It feels like Green Lantern.
The movie, yes.
The movie feels like Green Lantern.
But I mean as far as like, it's the guts of where we move forward with the MCU.
Yeah. And that's fine. And I have zero problems with it, but I have no interest in I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out on superhero films personally. I will read comic books, the current runs, the old runs. I got super excited because I got most of the run of Doom Patrol that was done after Grant Morrison, that was written by one of the very first out transgender writers in Rachel Pollack. And I got really excited that I collected most of the, at Monroe Comic Con, most of that run in single issues. I'm missing like 4 issues that I can find on eBay. But I got more excited for that. And I'm more excited to see the direction of some of the comic books that are going on right now. Brian Michael Bendis writing Superman. The new Batman Damned that just came out on the time of this recording, that just came out with Brian Azzarello, who's a tremendous writer. And for some reason, you see Bruce Wayne's dick. I don't know. I'm not excited to see that, but I'm just like, I'm excited for those books. And John Constantine showing up. I'm excited for Swamp Thing to be an actual television show on the DC streaming service. I'm more excited for that. On the Marvel side, in just in general, like, the books don't interest me. I like some of the characters. I like Daredevil. I like Spider-Man. I like Fantastic Four. I did like Black Panther. I don't like the current volume right now, even though it's still being written by Ta-Nehisi Coates. They put Black Panther in this weird space odyssey thing. I don't know. It's weird. I didn't like it. I read like 4 issues and I wasn't crazy about it. But like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me leaning more DC than Marvel, but also at the same time, I'm just kind of like, Marvel did tremendous things for these characters in movies and in media, to the point that like Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Thor are household names now. A decade ago, they weren't. There were niche audience characters. There were niche audience media. Comics still looks kind of a niche audience because, and we've talked, Kyle has talked about it with me before, you know, people don't come into their shop and go, I just saw this movie, I'd like to read blank hero. They're looking for the movie version of said hero, and it's not like that in the comic book world. It's an amalgam of characters. So that's why I'm more interested in the source material.
Vinny, who is a not-so-popular character that you enjoy following in either DC or Marvel?
Okay, honestly, I'm going to be the kind of the exact opposite of a peapod here. Give me all the movies, TV shows, cartoons. I actually have kind of gotten away as much as I can from Marvel DC current books. I just don't like the direction a lot of things are going. I still have one comic, superhero comic, on my current pull list is the current Justice League run with Scott Snyder writing it.
It's really good. Life. I have to catch up, but it's good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, and they got Jon Stewart back, and Martian Manhunter, who should be in every Justice League related thing. But you know, I actually spend more of my pull list on indie comics. Well, not really indie, but away from the big two, you know. Saga, Lazarus are some of my favorites right now.
Saga's
East
great
of
book.
West. Yeah.
You guys are way deeper into this.
Yes.
Night.
Yes.
Join
sorry,
us.
Should we
get
join
back
us.
To?
I don't know. Vinny texts me stuff and I not having full-time work as he does, and he drinks and parties and has way more sex than I don't know how he has the time to do all this shit. Cause
I don't. I do not.
You are a master of somehow working and not working and keeping all these interests aligned. I did want to tell you that the more I've played Spider-Man, I'm not that thrilled with it anymore. Maybe it'll get
what?
Better.
I want to play it, and I don't even own a PS4.
It kind of plods along.
Really? How I've barely played the storyline, so I've just been going around in this game, New York City, just beating the crap out of criminals.
Me too.
Hunting for pigeons.
And and like getting backpacks and doing the science experiments with Harry. And I got past the shocker in the storyline, and there's these demon guys. Like, it just plods along, and it doesn't keep me as much as I keep making the comparison to Arkham, because I played no video game like I've ever played all of those Batman games where I couldn't put it down. Like, this is very immersive. Like, I stopped last night because Peter needed to take a nap on Aunt May's couch at work.
I'm past that one already. So have you gotten far past that one?
No, I'll go home and I'll pick it up from there. But and it is very immersive and lifelike, and it reminded me of a game that that was suggested to me called Life is Strange, where I mean, it's like you're playing a Netflix show and you're literally doing all this mundane shit. So it's not as action-packed as I was expecting or hoping. And maybe it'll get better once I keep going, but it's certainly not on the Arkham level with me.
To get away from spoilers, I won't say anything, but after that couch, infamous couch scene you're worried about, the plot goes 100 and opens the world up much more, trust
okay.
me.
You got to keep it, as the kids say, 100.
Yes, it goes 100 after that.
I think we covered everything. I think we did a good job of the two white people here showing
not
off.
Full on white. I am half Lebanese. Just saying.
Okay.
So half the podcast is white.
Yes, half the podcast is white. Listen, you're a whitey.
Vinny, any final thoughts?
No, I think we very well covered, our thoughts on, diversity in comics medium and pop culture in general here. So, thanks for having me aboard as well here.
Always.
I tried to get as much as I could on my little Twitter thread the other day here, but, I'm glad we can elaborate more into it. One final thought I will say there, like I said, I didn't care about Amadeus Cho Hulk. I don't care if we want to make a Danny Rand Asian. I want to see Asian heroes. Period.
Yeah.
Asian characters. Like period.
Not to go off on a huge spiel with this, but I was reading. Who's the Wolverine? Charles Soule.
Charles Soule.
He created, I believe, in Daredevil, a kid called Blindspot.
Yes.
Lives. He's actually, I guess, the inspiration for the character that was on the last season of Iron Fist. Is kind of this blind spot kid. Kid lives in Chinatown. He's broke. He kind of runs with gangs. But
he's an illegal Chinese immigrant.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. It's like that, just in the same way that Marvel has erected Captain Marvel into their Wonder Woman. In 20 years, she will be eye-to-eye with Captain America and the other heroes that we're so familiar with. It just takes time, and more than anything, good stories.
And that's the basis of any of these characters and any of these comics, is if the story makes sense and the story is written well, anything is possible.
There's a fucking Squirrel Girl that beat Dr. Doom, right?
Yeah, and that's canon. That's in the fucking comics. Squirrel Girl has beaten Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom, one of your biggest bads in the DC, or excuse me, in the Marvel Universe, Squirrel Girl beat him.
Granted, have you guys seen the actress who's playing Squirrel Girl?
What now?
The actress who's going to play Squirrel Girl.
They have somebody confirmed?
For what?
It's going to be, I want to say, a TV show.
No.
Okay.
It's going to be, I can't pronounce her name. It's the chick from the AT&T commercials. Melania.
Oh, the hot chick from the AT&T commercials?
Yes.
I haven't seen this anywhere.
You know what? I could see that.
Yes.
Well, wait, isn't it going to be like a Rocket kind of situation with Bradley Cooper?
No. Squirrel Girl is an actual person that's just dressed up as a squirrel and can talk to squirrels. Because, comics. I shared a panel from the most recent Mr. Miracle. It was 9 panels of Darkseid eating a carrot from a veggie tray. This is the reason I read comics, because of this wacky fucking world that escapes the fucking terrible world that we live in currently right now.
If you want to take over the universe, you better eat fucking healthy.
You should. If you want to discover the anti-life equation and wipe off most of the universe, you got to make sure your night vision is solid.
Peapod, final thoughts?
Really, just buy more comics, support local comic book stores, support independent comics, and really, just read what you go. Go to your local comic store, whether it's Sean's Animan Comics in Toledo, Monarch Cards and Comics, The Game Room. Go to your local comic book store. Ask them you want to read a character and where to go and begin, and then just deep dive in these worlds of these phenomenal characters and these stories. And don't just necessarily start at the superhero level. Do research. Get weird. Get strange. Find what you like and support the comic industry. Because honestly, without it, we're not getting these films anymore. We're not getting these television shows anymore. It starts with your local store and the paper comics.
Last thing. I succumbed to the free trial and got DC Universe.
Oh,
have they brought out all the books yet?
It's pretty, it's wonky, it's clunky, not everything is on there, but I read mostly, I don't read current stuff.
Right.
So I went back and looked for old stuff that I wanted to reread or find.
Right.
That was okay, but it's hard to, it's much harder to navigate than Marvel, and that just might be on the back end of the app. And most disappointingly, Batman the Animated Series, arguably the greatest cartoon of all time, certainly of the 90s.
Agreed.
For how mature it was, how it was done, how it copied.
And it still holds up today.
Yeah, because it's timeless.
Because it's that noir style, which you can always throw, you can always roll back to. People really like it.
It has been remastered to be released on Blu-ray next month, but it's a draw right now on DC Universe for $7.99 a month or whatever it is. And it's sharper, the colors look better. It's not as crisp as I was expecting, and it's not widescreen. It's not full screen.
Ooh.
I don't think they can do that because it was, I mean, this came out, what, early 90s?
Yeah,
so when they animated it, it's for regular or old school TV.
You can't go that far. I mean, I'm going to wait a little bit until some of the exclusive shows come out and then jump on because I'm thinking then, like, a lot of the bugs and everything will get ironed out, because anytime you launch any kind of service, you're gonna get bugs, you're gonna get tricky. I'm going to jump on right maybe when Titans come out, maybe.
Fuck Batman.
Yeah, fuck Batman. And even though it looks kind of eh, I'm more excited for all the behind the scenes announcements for Doom Patrol. It actually looks really good, and Swamp Thing of the ideas and the people they're starting to cast and starting to announce looks pretty good. So, and I also just want to know how much comics they're gonna that is the back end that's in it. But I'm not gonna jump on just yet.
I can't recommend Marvel Unlimited. I love it. And there's times where I don't touch it for 6 months, but when I dive back into it, I'll blow through 50 comics, and it's great.
I've got a Marvel Unlimited account, and I'll still buy stuff off Comixology, in addition to even going to my local comic shop to buy stuff, too. So I'm, like, just buried in stuff.
It's the world.
He has a job.
He makes more money than both of us, probably.
But he has a job, and I don't know how he manages all this shit.
I don't know. I have a job and another podcast and everything, I just recently, I actually bought, a month's worth, a month and, I think 6 weeks worth of books that were just, because I was just broke, and I just, I couldn't figure out payment, and then I got money, and then I'm like, okay, I'm finally getting my comics, because if I don't get my comics after a long time, I can start getting antsy.
I think the only time I have time to read is when I'm at my girlfriend's house and she's
You don't have a girlfriend.
And she's watching her crappy shows like Grey's Anatomy, and I'll just sit on my iPad and start catching up on stuff.
See, I can't. So. I have to read with next to no noise.
I'm the same.
Because I like to concentrate, I like to read, I like to hear the voices in my head while reading these characters. You know, Kevin Conroy, every time I read Batman, is Batman. It's very hard for me to read when, my wife is watching something. I lose my focus real easily, so.
Guys, thanks for
put Grey's Anatomy on the TV. You'll zone that out really quick.
Oh, that's probably.
Vin the Hater. Peapod, you can find the On the Radar podcast. Thank you guys for doing the heavy lifting here, and we will get nerdy again soon.
Please do.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.